Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
I solemnly swear to remain faithful to my bosom friend Diana Barry for as long as the sun and the moon shall endure. Now you say it.
Oh, it gets me every time. Anne Shirley, Diana Barry, making a solemn vow to always remain bosom friends. Welcome to Good Things Radio. My name is Brooke Taylor, a housewife who has not figured it out. And that's the theme of the program today. Friends, good friends, a conversation with the authors of a brand new book. It's called The Friendship Project. Michelle Fainley, Emily Jeminet, they're friends of the show. They're back with their second project now. They're joining me on the program to talk about the purpose and the power of these bonds. Do you remember that old Girl Scout, Boy Scout song, Make New Friends But Keep the Old? One is silver and the other gold. And we're going to go a little deeper into that, but you get the idea. And the great thing about this new book is it's not just something to read, but a study. And so we'll talk about that on the show today. Also, a favorite thing that you're going to love. I have been waiting all week to tell you about this. I'm so excited, especially if you struggle like I do with organizing the gazillion photos that we have from our smartphones and online. So I've got one quick, new, easy idea that I really think you're going to like. And I also have to say a big hello to the ladies of Holy Family Parish in Parma, Ohio. Hello. I had the opportunity to speak there over the weekend, and what a group of dazzling dames. I mean, really, just wonderful hospitality. There were about 200 women there of all ages, and the topic was turning over a new leaf. And it's actually, as I record this right now, my studio is adorned with this enormous, like 3 foot by 4 foot, I would say, poster board with a tree made out of paper on it. And on the tree are leaves, specifically pieces of paper, which the ladies wrote down takeaways from the talk. I'm going to pull this over here. I was just so moved by this. So some of the things they wrote were, no more woe is me. I will choose to be grateful for everything and every blessing. Gratitude. Throw more surprise parties in gratitude. I now have a fresh look into the future and starting with a new beginning. Wow, that is amazing. Holy Spirit, give me life. Help me be more grateful and strong and a blessing to my family. One woman here said, I would like to pray my rosary every day. Thank you for the reminder to renew each day with joy in Jesus. Oh, I'm actually pulling this leaf off right now, so hopefully I won't rip it on the tree, because this one has something written on the backside, and I want to read it with you. It says, Brooke, I have listened to all your podcasts and very much enjoyed today. I brought my family with me. God bless you. It's Monica. Thank you, Monica. She said, thank you for, oh, now the back ripped, giving your time to us. May God come bless you in your work. Monica, I hope you're coming to our retreat. Man, oh, now I got to get another piece of tape. Anyway, that's just a few. If you would see how big this thing is, I will cherish this forever. But what a neat idea. And that's what's always so fun about popping into different churches, different communities, is you just get to see the personality behind each group. And it was really, really just a wonderful opportunity. So yeah, that's what I talked about. Specific ways to change habits, not just concepts, but tangible tips, takeaways, stories, examples, and how to actually do that. We are at a time right now of new beginnings. The geese are flying south, or they will start to, even though it's been 90 degrees here where we live in Ohio lately. But that there's an aroma, there's a scent in the air. In the area of the country that we live in, it really is a tangible sign that things are changing. And a lot of times, if you are of the liturgical faith, we might just wait until Advent or Lent and say, okay, now I'm going to start fresh. I'm going to start new. What do I want to do? But really, every day should be a renewal of that. And that Book of Joel, come back to me with your whole heart. So how do we do that every day? And that's what we talked about at Holy Family. So again, thank you to everyone there, Georgia, her great team, and blessing me with the opportunity to come to your parish. Thank you, ladies. And with that, we've got a lot to get to on today's show. And as we close out the month of September, which I can't believe, but we need to acknowledge St. Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, the Feast of the Archangels this week. And so let's tune everything else out. Tune in to the one who is beyond time and months and seasons. This week in the gospel, we hear about the parable of the two sons. And so we pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, assist us in our efforts in the week to come. Remind us that doing your will is not just about talk, that your will is done in the vineyard, that doing your will is not just play, but can be dangerous, that by doing your will, we are called to be obedient, not perfect. Give us the grace to serve you well today. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So I'm thinking about C.S. Lewis and Tolkien, Jefferson and Adams, Lucy and Ethel, Anne Shirley and Diana Barry, my favorite from Anne of Green Gables. And that's what it's about. Today we're talking about friendships. Life is just richer and fuller when you're blessed with a really, really good friend. And I think if you're blessed to even have more than one, what a treasure that is in life. And the friendships I'm talking about, because not all are equal. It's different when you're a giggly girl of seven and just kind of thinking about boys and dreaming about your future, to the friendships that have been tried and tested and you've walked through stuff. And that's what we're talking about today, the power of spiritual sisters. That's the focus of a new book. It's called The Friendship Project, The Catholic Women's Guide to Making and Keeping Fabulous Faith-Filled Friends. And the authors themselves are actually real-life besties. Enjoy joining us on the show today, Michelle Fainley and Emily Jaminet. Welcome to the program, ladies.
Hello, Brooke. It's so wonderful to see you and hear you.
Yes. Oh, it's so great to be on the show. Thank you so much.
I was going to try to say thank you. Thank you for coming on the show. And I'm trying to picture, like, are you guys the Catholic Laverne and Shirley? Like, that's not enough. But you really are great friends of, I think, epic proportions. I remember reading Divine Mercy for Moms. And in that book that you authored, you two co-authored that book, you talk about your friendship. So I think there's no question that God has a purpose for bringing you guys together in your lives, and now this book. So can you give us a quick synopsis? Born of your friendship, now you're birthing this to others. Can you give us a little bit about who this book is for and why it's so important?
Well, it's for everyone. That's what's exciting about the Friendship Project. It's for women that are 99 years old and, you know, or 80 years old in a nursing home and realizing they need to start over with friendships, and young girls. We have moms doing groups that are, you know, seventh grade girls with their daughters. So it's designed for all women to figure out what God really wants with our friendships and to see that God does have a hand in our friendships. He wants to be a part of these relationships. And our friendships are what stabilize us in a dark culture. So we call it the project because we are always in motion. We're always changing. We want to be a great friend to other people, and we want to cultivate amazing faith-filled friendships.
I think the cover art speaks to that as well, because it's really beautiful. But you have a circle, and it's all these saints. So that's really the format, the structure of this book, right, Michelle?
Yeah, so on the cover, we have saints intermixed with just regular women on the front cover. So there's an older woman, a younger woman, and a, you know, very young girl. And then they have Saint Catherine of Siena and Teresa of Avila and the Blessed Mother. So, and it's in a circle, right, that kind of that looping, that interwovenness of our lives with the saints and the friendship of the saints and the friendship of us on earth. And what we've done in the Friendship Project is, first, we are looking through the eyes of the virtues. virtues. So each chapter is focused on a virtue, and we talk about a friend on earth that has really taught us how to live out that virtue. And then we tie in saints that were friends on earth. So it's what was really a blessing for us to discover all these women saints who had great saint friends while they were on earth. So they had another woman who was their friend, and that helped propel them to be amazing holy saints. In fact, we've even highlighted all four female doctors of the church. So we're not just talking about the little saints. These are some of the great saints, and they had these friends in their lives that helped propel them to holiness.
Yeah, as I was cracking it open, that's what I loved, is it was, you had St. Hildegard, you had St. Therese of Lisieux and her sister Léonie, but you also have Our Lady and St. Elizabeth and Naomi and Ruth. And I know part of this whole thing is researching. You're sharing your own lives and what the Lord has brought forth and your experiences, but then you're digging into the lives of these saints. So I'm curious, in this whole process, this baby that you've now delivered, what has been, I want to start with you, Emily, maybe the thing that resonated, the story that really impacted you, maybe that you didn't know about one of these saints as you worked on this project.
Well, I would say St. Hildegard is a new doctor of the church from Pope Benedict XVI, elevated her to doctor of the church in 2010, and I'd never even heard of her. So St. Hildegard of Bingen and her best friend, Blessed Jutta, and just this beautiful relationship of starting as a young girl and being formed in the faith and growing in the faith, and how she was really mentored and was an amazing, just modern example to us women, because she was very talented. She was a poet. She was an abbess. She was a philosopher. She helped, you know, solve problems between bishops and popes. She would write letters, kind of like a form of a politician, apologetics, promoting the faith, living a life of mysticism, and even some biology and a little bit of medicine. So this person that lived in the 12th century, like how she didn't, you know, limit the view of what a holy woman looks like. But to me, she really showed me that with the hand of God in my life, I am going to be more complete and more able to penetrate the areas that the culture needs me. And that's what was exciting about getting to know that particular saint pair and how they inspired each other and yet grounded each other in their Catholic faith.
And that's exciting, as you talked about the demographic of the younger girls, because I get so frustrated in some, and it's not new. In every culture, the heroes and the people that young girls idolize are kind of off the mark, because these gems, these amazing saints, you are interested in science. Yes, there's a St. Hildegard, there's an Edith Stein. I mean, whatever you're interested in, there is an amazing woman, and it's not to say that the celebrities out there aren't great people, but there's a depth that comes with when you study these lives that you can do so much more if you give your life to God than what we could ever imagine. And that's what's so exciting. And like you said, you're never too old to learn that or to live that. And I'm curious too, for you, Michelle, what was the saint or the specific story that you were like, wow, I didn't know that?
My favorite story was Teresa of Avila and Blessed Anne of St. Bartholomew, because I didn't know, you know, a lot. I heard of St. Teresa of Avila and read some of her amazing writings, but I never knew she had what was called an inseparable companion in Blessed Anne of St. Bartholomew. So when Blessed Anne joined the Carmelite order, she basically became St. Teresa's right-hand woman. So she was her nurse. She was her secretary. She traveled everywhere with her. And she was so humbled and honored to be in this. She knew that she was in the presence of a great saint her whole life. And she really lived a life of service to St. Teresa. And in fact, I think the favorite part of the story for me is at the end of Teresa's life that she died in the arms of Blessed Anne of St. Bartholomew. So what a gift to have that friendship, that someone so close to you, someone spent so much time with you, and to die in their arms.
That, see, I mean, even the Days of Our Lives soap opera writers cannot write life as amazing as that is. And, you know, I think, too, in reading this book, I appreciated the acknowledgement of the bumps in the road. And I look at someone like my mom, who is just very extroverted. She will make a best friend in the bathroom. She goes in, she comes out, and she has her phone number, and they're going to get together. And I grew up really shy. And when I did put my heart out there, it was stomped on a couple of times. I was bullied as a young girl. I had my heart broken. And you talk a little bit about that, where when you talk about loyalty, we let people into the really intimate parts of our heart. You even bring up the term frenemy, and that at some point there's a trust that's breached or a betrayal, that it's really, really hard. And I don't think we ever outgrow that. And, you know, whether it happens to us as we're young or it can still happen as adult women, even in the Christian setting where that can happen. So any advice for that? Because there are going to be people that see this book and think, I don't really know. I don't know if I can trust my heart with these ladies that are currently in my life where I've just been burned.
What a great point to kind of go with. And I think about that scripture we talked about under loyalty, right? Where, you know, Peter's out, Jesus is, you know, in with the trial, and who does he call his friend, right? The people that weren't his friends. His real friends was Jesus Christ. But instead he looks to the lady and she says, aren't you his friend? He said, no, but he addresses the wrong people, his friends. So with the concept of loyalty and developing friendship is finding the right friends that fit for you. And that's really, really important with developing these type of friendships and realizing that maybe I need some healing from some of the experiences that have happened in the past with friendship. But with faith, you know, Jesus is our friend. And from that, he's going to give us these other friendships that are going to strengthen us and help us and really heal us. Because, you know, with friendship, we have to deepen and develop these gifts of friendship and understanding that spiritual friendship is about not only wanting those virtuous friends, but being that virtuous friend yourself. So I think we've all had our hearts stepped on. I've had my heart stepped on. I've stepped on other people's hearts, you know, and I recognize through this process that, like, I've even had to seek forgiveness from a middle school friend, you know, because I look back and I wasn't happy with the version of myself in that particular moment. But I think this book helped me realize that's what it was about. It was about kind of seeking some healing and then moving forward and seeking and helping women have these friendships.
You know, my mom grew up, and for regular listeners, they'll know her story. She spent her teen years, her young adult life in the convent, and began her novitiate before she left due to an illness. But one of the songs that she always sang to me growing up, and it was, I guess, adjusted in the convent to No Girl is an Island, because I've heard, you know, no man is an island. But one of the lyrics in the song says, we need one another, so I will defend each girl as my sister, each girl as my friend. And what my mom said in the convent that they were cautioned against is not just to make friends who are just like you, that we all naturally gravitate towards people that are similar to us. And I think St. Therese in the stories that you highlight here is a good example of this, where she, in her life too, where she loved others even if and when they didn't necessarily express that same love back to her. And even when it was hard, people she knew that maybe didn't like her, and she still put herself out there, she persisted. And you talk about how God continually calls us to love. So any advice you could offer in just making friends when it's hard with people we don't naturally gravitate towards?
Well, one thing I talked about in the chapter on generosity was St. Catherine of Siena, and she actually has really a nice prayer that we incorporated in the back of the book. It's on page 108, but she talked about that exact topic, and she says, eternal goodness, you want me to gaze into you and see that you love me, to see that you love me gratuitously, so that I may love everyone with the very same love. You want me then to love and serve my neighbors gratuitously by helping them spiritually and materially as much as I can without any expectation of selfish profit or pleasure. Nor do you want me to hold back because of their ingratitude or persecution. So we've tried to tie in some prayers. One thing we've done in the book is these prayers of the saints. We also wrote unique prayers for each of the chapters on these virtues. And we even we wrote a prayer on forgiveness, because we know a lot of people have friendships that they're, you know, maybe holding a grudge over many, many years. So I went through, there was a priest that we gave a conference with in Indianapolis, and he went through this whole four-step process of healing and forgiveness. So we simplified that into a little prayer and incorporated it in the appendix of the book. And it's very powerful to be able to take a friend who you've had that hurt with and to say their name, and you forgive them and you thank God for them and you ask God to bless them. And And it's such a freeing experience and opens you up then when you, like Emily said, you have to sometimes heal from these other friendships before you can move into some new friendships.
And I think there is something about saying it and saying it out loud. And saying, bless you, not bless you. It's a very, you know, sincere letting go. That's a beautiful thing. And, you know, it's interesting, too. Did you run into anything in this book of kind of unexpected friendships where it'd be a surprise? I know I look at my friend Linda Isaiah. She's one of my best friends. And she is a woman, you know, a couple of decades older. She's African-American. She's a Pentecostal pastor. And she always laughs and says, I never thought, you know, that I would be friends with this little Catholic white girl. And we have developed, you know, I think through the openness of our heart and our mutual love of Christ, kind of an oddball pair that has, I think, widened our hearts, expanded our hearts and our scope of understanding. I have so much more understanding for the things that she shares with me that I would never have known had we not been friends. Are there any examples in the book of people that you're like, that's really amazing that they became friends? Or is it all just pretty natural? You can see the way that the Lord sewed them together.
Wow, that is an awesome question. I mean, my mind kind of drifts to St. Perpetua and St. Felicity because they were two women from very different economic backgrounds. They were, one was a more of a slave figure, another one was a upper class woman, and how they were besties at the end of their life. I mean, they encouraged each other in the Colosseum and they knew where this was going. They knew they were going to die a horrific death, but yet they had joy. They had a sense of purpose. They were covered in the Holy Spirit. And, you know, they were able to just rejoice over this short-lived friendship. It wasn't a very long friendship, but they talked about being in the Colosseum and how scared they were, or in the, you know, the undercroft of the Colosseum in that time of jail, but yet how God blessed them and helped them in their journey. And so I would say all these friendships have a little bit of surprise. I mean, even Michelle and I, like, there are moments where I'm like, wow, we've had this amazing friendship, but I'm still surprised by, you know, how friendship unfolds in this day and age. And I think with spiritual friendship, you're so much more open to being friends with other people, especially of faith, because you don't know where the Holy Spirit's going to take it and how he's going to transform that relationship.
And I think part of it, too, is building community, which I know is what you guys are hoping to do with this book. It's not just a book, but it's an opportunity to have a study together. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, we knew with Divine Mercy for Moms how powerful it was for women to get together to read little parts of the chapters of the book and then come together and study, because Emily and I have been part of faith sharing groups for more than 10 years, and they have been so important. And we, in fact, in chapter one, we share the stories of these both times in college and then as in our adult life, how we had these small faith sharing communities and how they really propelled us to grow deeper and stronger in our faith. So with the Friendship Project, right in the back of the book, we include a study guide. So all the questions for each chapter, and there is also what we call a going deeper into scripture section. And this is something we've been doing a lot when we go out in retreats and teaching women really how to ponder and pray over the scriptures together. So this is included all in the back of the book. We also have a website, thefriendshipprojectbook.com, and there we have tons and tons of more free resources. So we took the study guide out of the back of the book and developed it into a journal. So if you're one of those people that likes to sit down at your group and take down notes, or as you're doing your reading during the week, take down some notes, you can print that off and journal all the answers to the questions as well as the scripture pieces. We made it really easy for you also to form a group. So we have an invitation that you can send out to your friends to invite you to do this study together. We have ideas for icebreakers. So when you get together, getting to know the women in your group is really important. And I know we piloted the Friendship Project with 35 women across our diocese here in Columbus last spring, and many of them did not know each other. They either knew Emily or they knew myself, but not everyone knew each other. So many amazing new friendships blossomed from that group. So we also included some recipes for you to make at your faith sharing group. So when you get together, you know, food is an important part of fellowship. So we've got all kinds of these great little tips and tools to help you to start up a group. And even our, you know, one of our favorite things is our publisher is offering an awesome deal, and they're offering 40% off if you order from them in groups of 10 or more. So that you can do a study for less than $10, because we also have videos for each chapter online that are totally free, and you just stream them right on your computer. You can plug them in your smart TV. And in each chapter, we feature a friend, as I mentioned, that taught us this virtue. So we interview them in these videos. So you get to actually meet these people and know these are real people. These are real stories. And they're just like you and me. And so they have these beautiful stories to share. And it really expounds on their life and our friendship.
That's really great. And I have to be honest, when you said organize refreshments, which is one of the tips here, I immediately thought of men and my husband and how they would like that because they like the food. And I'm wondering if in the future, if you'll ever do anything similar like this for the guys. I always think about my husband because I'm doing a lot of these things. But I have to share with you something funny. When I was on the morning show in Cleveland, we did a contest and it was called New Best Friends. And we would do this game periodically in that we would have perfect strangers call up on the phone. We would conference them. And then during the length of a song, we would have them be able to hear one another and ask, get to know each other as much and as fast as they could within that 3 minute and 30 second song, roughly. And then when the song was done, we would quiz them on every aspect of their life. And it was amazing how much the women were able to get to know each other in that brief time. So one time we said, why don't we do this with guys? And we had these two guys call and literally was like, hey man, how are you? And by the time the song was done, they had not been able to really probe into each other's life a whole lot. And I just thought it's so interesting, the social aspect of women and men. Do you think men, I mean, what is it? Because our men need friends as well. They need holy friends and mentors. And I know that this is like a rabbit trail off the focus of the book, but is that something that you see as well going around? Do you have any guys saying, what about us? Oh.
I'm so glad you brought this up. And that's one reason why we chose Father Larry Richards to write the foreword of the book. And he was like laughing, like, I deal with men, you know, I don't deal with women and friendship. But yet we do, because it's all grounded in our love for Christ. And with our husbands, when we were early married, they would do beer and adoration. And at first they used to brew beer and hang out and do adoration. And then they got busy and they would go to BW3s and get wings and go to adoration and do different things. So men, you know, as wives, we're good at like, or girlfriends, we're good at like kind of pushing them in the right direction. And one of the things that we've found that's been very successful is this idea of Friendship Friday. So, you know, one of the suggestions in the book is to say, think about your relationships, reach out to your friends on Friday. So, you know, Friendship Friday is all about being deliberate and connecting with people. And one great way to do it is including your husband and other couples. You know, the art of spontaneous barbecues seem like lost, right? Like instead we're always meeting at soccer fields and football gatherings, but really saying, I want to be deliberate. I want to have a couples over, have some light appetizers and get to know each other. And Michelle and I've been really blessed. And our husbands are like, we love this book. We're like finally all hanging out again, you know? So being deliberate about your relationships and reaching out to people is really an important aspect of cultivating friendship.
And we even invited Emily's brother's a priest. So we had a Friendship Friday and her brother, Father Jonathan, got to come. And our husbands have, you know, my husband has been friends with her brother forever. And so everybody got to enjoy. So including the priests in that too, because priests need friends. In fact, Pope Francis recently had an audience and he talked about the importance of priests having friends. So inviting priests into your circle of friends, into your get-togethers, it's a blessing for the families to have that peace added to it.
Absolutely. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Really, I love the beer and adoration. The sky's the limit. You could do ribs and rosary. I mean, you could do anything.
Yeah, let's do it and let us know. In the book, we talked about how we used to do like, you know, a play day and then say the rosary, or, you know, just incorporating 5 minutes of prayer and a coffee. But the idea is spiritual friendship doesn't, you know, it's a natural connection to who we are. You know, it's God interweaving into our lives and he wants to be a part of our relationships. So, you know, we're not in an island. We're called to be in community, like you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, and to be inviting. One thing Emily and I talk a lot about is sometimes we have friends that they feel like they don't fit in with other people, but we're happy to invite them into our circle, right? They're always welcome. And you know, sometimes you have to take an extra special step. If you have that person in your life that you know is lonely, then invite them in, invite them over for a coffee, something simple, go to lunch with them and make the time for them, because those moments, you know, people tell us all the time that how important that is to them, that you might even just reach out to them, even in a text message or something, that means a lot to them and their loneliness.
Well, you really mentioned the touch point of this entire podcast, this program, and the ministry that we formed is the community aspect. And it's not just the concept of friendship or I know that I have something in common, but to really reach out and make those connections and to learn from one another and be inspired by our lives. And you too are a beautiful witness of that. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
Oh, and I'm glad to call you friend, Brooke. So
yes.
Glad we've come together over the years.
Likewise. And I know you guys have a website too. Do you want to mention that?
Yes, it's the Friendship
Project. Well, you have a Project few websites, but for this
yes,
one.
Yes, well, this one is the friendshipprojectbook.com. Our first one is divinemercyformoms.com. But all the information for the study, everything is right at the friendshipprojectbook.com.
Okay, thank you so much. And I'm excited, actually, to say that we have a book to give away to one of our listeners. So, yep, it's just feedback at goodthingsradio.com. And we will actually announce the winner in our next podcast and give the book away. So thank you so much, ladies.
Well, thank you. Great.
God bless you.
Yay, thank you.
St. Therese with her roses, God's words when it's written, bright kids in church shirts and sunny beach sitting. Big runs on pavement and stretching out hamstrings. These are a few of my favorite things.
So before we wrap up the show, I have been chomping at the bit to share with you the coolest app kind of slash photo album that we just signed up for in our family. And I promise this is not an ad or an endorsement. It's just something I really was psyched to hear about. A classmate, a friend of mine, is on Facebook and a photographer friend and was raving about this. And I had to check it out. And sure enough, she was right. It's called The Groove Book. Have you heard of this? It's actually from Shutterfly. And here's the deal. For $2.99 a month, you are able to select 100 pictures every month from your phone, from any of your devices where you take pictures, and build a groove book. So it's essentially a photo album with perforated pictures. So you can store them in the album they come in, or you can give them to relatives. You can post them on the fridge, whatever. And yeah, that's it. The photos are 4x6s. Jim, my husband and I were talking about what a great idea this would be for the grandparents. Like my in-laws that live in Florida, my mother-in-law would love this every month to get a little book of 100 or less. If you only have 20 pictures, that's fine too. And every month, which never happens in our case, by the way, I would have to whittle it down to the 100, top 100 of the month. But I love that idea. It's a cute photo album, shots from that month already printed out in hard copy form. And I know it's not for everybody. And some people I have heard do use Shutterfly, like the app, and just get a book every month already. But for the price, $2.99 a month, I just figured you can't beat that. So I wanted to share. Let me know what you think. If you've done it, maybe you do it right now. It's called Groove Book. And also, don't forget, a big, big thank you again to Emily and Michelle for their time and their beautiful insight. If you want to win their book, all you need to do is shoot me an email. It's feedback@goodthingsradio.com. The book is called The Friendship Project. On the next show, we will announce the winner. So that will be episode 114. And coming up on the next program as well, I want to share with you a recipe from one of our listeners that is world-class apple bread, because you know we have to do it. We're turning over a new leaf. We're into a new season. So we're going to talk about that. Any recipes you want to share, shoot me an email. Shoot me a Voxer. My name is Brooke Taylor, and the number one, Brooke Taylor 1 on Voxer. Thank you so much to all of our Podbean patrons for keeping our show going. I cannot thank you enough for your generosity, your faithful support. So to become a patron, just click on Become a GTR Good Friend in the show notes. Also, and this is a big news flash, tickets for the Arise Good Things Radio Retreat are going fast. And I just keep thinking, last year and the year before, they weren't even on sale yet. And as I sit here, right now we have one single room left and we have 17 double occupancy rooms. That's it, guys. So 18 tickets total. Again, the date is April 5th through the 8th, 2018, Loyola Retreat House, Divine Mercy Weekend. Father Nathan Cromley is back as retreat master. And it was actually interesting going out this weekend and talking about the retreat to kind of a new demographic. The podcast listeners know it. My friends and kind of their friends know it. But to be able to drop in and talk to so many ladies who said, I need a retreat, or it's been years, or I have a hard time finding a retreat that suits me and what I'm really looking for. And so I do think it is such a personal thing that you're called to do. And again, space is limited. We've got 50 spots. So whether it's this one or whether it's another one, it reminded me of the beauty and the power that comes from the graces that we receive from a retreat. So you can get all the information on our show notes for that as well. And a big thank you, as always, to my producer, Mark Cumming from Cumming Home Studio, for his dynamic skills and quick work. He is a producer extraordinaire, so for any production needs you may have, visit him at cumminghomestudio.com. John 15:15, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. May we stay close to our Father and our friend this week and always. God bless you, friends. Until next time.